Planning a mission trip for your group can be really hard, so we created a super simple process to make it easy. Learn more today at blueskymissions.org. You're listening to the Student Ministry Podcast. If you're a youth pastor, small group leader, college pastor, or even a parent, this podcast is for you. Whether you're looking for tools and resources or encouragement and wisdom, you've come to the right place. Here's your host, Kenny Ortiz.
Greetings and welcome back. This is the Student Ministry Podcast, and I'm your host, Kenny Ortiz, recording from the great metropolis of Orlando, Florida. Thanks for listening. This is episode number 13, and in just a moment, I'm going to be diving into a very simple but profound leadership topic or leadership idea that I'm excited to share with you. Hey, before we get to the meat of the content for today's episode, quick reminder on a few things. Number one, the importance of subscribing. I want to make sure everyone is subscribed. I know many of you are already subscribed, so you're already getting the episodes delivered directly to you. But there are probably other people listening to this that just stumbled across the podcast. Maybe you saw it on social media or some other website somewhere, but you're not subscribed to the podcast. I want to highly encourage you to make sure you are actually subscribed to the podcast. I've got sort of an irregular schedule with posting. I'm not posting weekly or on a regular schedule of any kind. I'm just kind of randomly whenever I get a chance to interview people or whenever I get a chance to record an episode. And so the way to guarantee that every episode gets delivered directly to your device is actually to subscribe. And so the easiest way to subscribe is actually head over to our website, studentministrypodcast.com. And while you're there, click on any one of the subscription links. That'll make it easy, take you right over to the place where you can subscribe. And again, it guarantees every episode gets delivered directly to your device. And then, of course, while you're on the website, you can check out a variety of other things. I've got some additional resources, books, blogs, websites, podcasts, all sorts of things that you can check out that are there on the site in the resources section that you can check out. And then, of course, I also have all of our old episodes with show notes, and then in each individual show notes for each episode, there are recommended resources. So whatever topic I dialogued, with a particular guest or that particular content, there's additional resources, additional readings, additional things that you can check out in the show notes for every episode. So I highly encourage you to do that. Again, the website is studentministrypodcast.com. One other quick item to remind you about, I would ask a huge favor of everyone, if you've not already done this, to please leave a review for the podcast. Good reviews are huge. In essence, more good reviews equals reaching more people. So if you could leave a review for the podcast, that would be great. In particular, if you're an Apple user, maybe you're listening to this on iTunes on your desktop or laptop, or whether you're listening to this in the podcast app on your iPhone or iPad, head on over to the podcast directory, find the Student Ministry Podcast, leave a 5-star rating, tell the world that you love this podcast. That would be a big, big help to me. Thank you so much. All right, let's get to the topic at hand. Right after I graduated high school, I had a chance to be a part of a great gap year program my late teens, early 20s in Rockford, Illinois. It was a ministry training internship program at a church. It was fantastic. And while I was there, I learned a bunch of great leadership principles and ideas, and I had a chance to get some ministry experience and kind of implement some of those things. And one of the leadership lessons I learned was this idea of being a thermostat instead of being a thermometer. Now, there's no doubt that there's probably a lot of you listening to this that are somewhat already familiar with the idea or the concept of being a thermostat versus a thermometer. You've probably heard this before, somewhere along the line. I want to remind you about the importance of this, of this particular idea and making sure you're implementing it. And then also, even if you're familiar with this, if you've never actually used this metaphor or illustration with your leadership team, whatever people that you are leading, if you're a leader of leaders, make sure you share this with them and really impress upon them how they can implement this in their own leadership. And then, of course, there are probably some of you who have never heard of this. I'm excited to share this with you. Again, it's super simple, but really profound in a lot of ways. In essence, the idea of being a thermostat versus thermometer is the idea of changing the climate versus dictating the climate. And whenever I share this with people that I've spoken to before, I always say to them, okay, what's a thermometer do? And you get the crowd to respond. It tells you the temperature, right? You walk into a room, the thermometer will tell you the temperature of that room is 70 degrees, right? Or 75 degrees, or, you know, 82 degrees, whatever, right? If you're at my house, hopefully it's 67 or 68 degrees, because I like it cooler than most people do. And so that's what the thermometer does. The thermometer doesn't change the temperature. It doesn't even consider it, right? It only does one function, one thing. It reflects or tells you what the temperature is at that particular moment. However, a thermostat takes it a step further, a very important step further. When you walk into a room and you see a thermostat, you do see a thermometer typically built into it, right? You look at the thermostat, it will tell you what the temperature is. However, it takes it a step further. A thermometer only reflects the current temperature. A thermostat can read and reflect the current temperature, but a thermostat also has the power to change it, right? Metaphorically speaking, if you are a thermostat, you don't just reflect the temperature of the room, but you would ask yourself this question: is the temperature of the room the correct temperature, right? That's how a thermostat works. If for some reason you're listening to this and you're not familiar with how a thermostat works, basically when you set a thermostat at a particular temperature, the thermostat then makes sure that the temperature stays in that regard, right? So if the thermostat is set at 71, when you walk into a room, but for some reason the temperature is 75, the thermostat then knows to kick it down, right? The thermostat would, if it was a human, would say to itself, hey, it's set at 71, but it's actually 75. 75 is too warm. Let me kick on the cool air to bring the temperature down. Or it could be the opposite, right? The thermostat could be set at 75, and the thermostat then realizes, again, if it was a human, the thermostat would say, well, it's only 72 in this room, it's supposed to be 75, let me kick on the heat and the warm air to bring the temperature up, right? The thermostat has the ability to gauge the temperature of the room, but also then ask the question, is this the right temperature, like, or does something need to change? Let me give you a quick practical example. I used to be an event manager for a large Christian nonprofit. We did these large Christian youth events all over the United States, and there were multiple occasions where I would have some of my interns. I had, you know, a large team of interns, you know, 50 or 60 interns at a particular event that would be, you know, putting that event on, and we'd have interns setting up or doing things, and there were multiple occurrences where there were situations where intern could have had an opportunity to make a change for the better, but didn't necessarily consider it. You know, so for an example, I remember one time I walked into a room and there were some interns setting up one of the breakouts. So, you know, in this breakout, we were expecting 200 or 300 people to be in that room to listen to a particular, you know, speaker, teacher in that particular, you know, workshop. And they were setting up the chairs in such a way that that it would be easiest, or it would be clear if someone was walking in late, they would kind of, the room would see them. And my experience is that when people are walking into a room, if someone walks in late, it ends up distracting everyone else in the audience, you know, because they're looking at the person that just walked in rather than looking at the speaker. So I would prefer that if people are walking in late, that the chairs are situated in a way that you couldn't be seen, or that the person walking in late couldn't be seen. Because again, I don't want to distract the people from what the communicator was speaking. And so I remember walking in the room and the chairs were set up in a way that this was not going to work. And so I asked the intern, hey, you know, why are we setting up the chairs this way? And he says, oh, well, that's the way the venue had the chairs already, some of the chairs facing this direction, and they already have the screen set up. And so, okay. So I thought to myself for a moment, well, maybe is there a way for us to move it? And you see, so when he walked in that moment, when the intern walked in that moment, the intern, you know, he just thought to himself, well, that's the temperature of this room, metaphorically speaking, right? The temperature of this room, or the situation in this room, is that the venue has already set up the projection screen in a particular area, and they've already set up some of the chairs, and so there's really not much we can do about it, right? That's just the way it is. And I remember challenging the intern to think a little bit, hey, let's consider maybe rethinking how we do this. Can we move the projection screen? Can we move the chairs? And he says, well, can we do that? I don't know. That's your responsibility to ask that question. Let's find out. Let's call the venue. Let's see what's going on. So we end up calling, and they said, sure enough, yeah, so we can move it. They sent their guys over. They moved the screen. We moved the chairs. It worked out great. Now, in that moment, I realized two things. Number one, I realized that I had failed as a leader to not teach him how to think better. That was my fault, 100% on me, that my intern in that moment had failed. And then second, I realized in that moment, hey, I can't expect my people to think the way that I want them to think and to be agents of change, to be the ones that set the climate to be better if I don't purposely give them the opportunity to do that. Right? I have to purposely teach him. I have to intentionally show him how I want him to think and how I want him to do things. We can't assume that people are going to do that. You see, the reality is some people are completely oblivious to what's going on in a room. Like some people would walk in and wouldn't even cross their mind, wouldn't be on their radar that the chairs are set up in a particular way that could be distracting. Wouldn't even cross their mind. Some people, on the other hand, would actually be very good thermometers where they would actually notice it. Some people would walk in the room and they may even notice, oh man, they shouldn't have set those chairs up in that moment. In fact, when I dialogued with my intern and some of the other interns that were there, I came to the realization that some of them had crossed their mind. Oh man, this isn't going to be good. It crossed their mind that, man, this is not the ideal, but they actually didn't do anything about it, right? So some people don't even notice. They're completely oblivious. Some people will notice, but they don't do anything about it. I find that there's a lot of people that fall into that category. A third category is the one where we want to be living and we want our people to be living. And that is the category where we don't just notice the things that are wrong or things that need to change. We don't just reflect and notice the climate, but that we interject ourselves in such a way that we bring positive change. I tell my leaders all the time, when you walk into a room, when you walk into a scenario, when you walk into a circumstance, when you walk into a meeting, when you walk into a moment where there's going to be a confrontation, when you walk into a moment where you got to do some counseling, any moment, event, situation, circumstance that you find yourself in, always ask yourself these two very important questions. Number one, what is wrong and how can I make it better? That's it. Like, that's the question. Right? That's what the thermostat is doing, right? The thermostat is, what's wrong with the temperature? If it's 75 and it's supposed to be 71, what's wrong? It's too hot. Let's kick it down, right? Or the thermostat may say, hey, what's wrong? Well, it's set at 72 and the temperature is actually 72. Well, the answer is, well, nothing is wrong. And you're good to go. Like, again, if there's nothing wrong, if there's nothing needs to be fixed, then you can go with it. But you should always walk into a room and ask yourself, when you walk into a situation, when you walk into a meeting, when you walk into a conversation, at any moment, you always ask yourself, what is wrong? Or what potentially could go wrong? And how do I proactively interject myself in such a way where I can head that off, right? So whenever I'm having a meeting, right, with someone, let's say at a coffee shop, I typically want to sit in a way that we're going to be least distracted, or that person's going to be least distracted, right? Or we want to say, I want to sit in a place where the sun's not going to be beaming in. So I typically do this. Whenever I show up to a coffee meeting, I try to get there early. Often, I'm not the first one there because of my own late propensities. But I try to, when I walk in, I typically will look around. I'll do this at a Starbucks. I'll do this at a Chick-fil-A. I'll do this wherever I'm at. I'll walk in and I'll say to myself, hey, we're going to be sitting here. Is the sun going to be in the eye of the person that I'm talking to? Well, if that's the case, I'll go in and I'll move the shade. The number of times I have adjusted the drapes or the mini blinds at a Starbucks, I mean, I've probably done it over the course of the last decade of my life. I'm not exaggerating. Probably in the hundreds of times where I've walked into a Starbucks and I've adjusted the mini blinds. And you know how many times, at least a handful of times in my life, I've had someone, a stranger, who was sitting at that Starbucks and said something like, oh man, that sun was really bothering me. Man, it was really bothering me. Thanks for changing it, or thanks for, lowering that. And I typically don't say anything out loud, but I've often thought to myself, you could have done this, right? They observed the problem. They observed that the sun was in their eyes and it was bothering them, right? They were being the thermometer in that moment, right? The temperature of the room was, the sun is bothering my eyes, right? They could reflect, they could observe that, they could notice that, but they weren't a thermostat. They didn't actually interject themselves in such a way to make change. And so I want to encourage you as the leader to find yourself, or in any situation you find yourself, always ask yourself those questions. What's wrong? How do I fix it? Or what's potentially going to go wrong? And how can I proactively solve this problem? These are very, very important questions for leaders to ask. And if you are a leader of leaders, right? Maybe you're the youth pastor with small group leaders, or maybe you are a senior pastor with a youth pastor underneath of you, or whatever context you find yourself, right? Maybe you're a college campus minister with some interns working underneath you. Whatever context you find yourself in, if you are a leader of leaders, it is essential, it is absolutely imperative that you teach your people this concept and give them permission to be thermostats. Let me say that again, because I think so often people don't realize this. You have to give your people permission to be thermostats. So often I find that leaders can be thermostat. They just need to be given permission to be the thermostat. Empower your people and give your people very specific examples in your context, right? So when I was a youth pastor here in the Orlando area, I would often give our small group leaders permission to do certain things. Hey, if you notice this problem, if during the song portion of worship, while we're singing and worshiping the Lord, there are some students that are distracting, I want to give you permission to go over and address that. Either whether you need to have them be quiet, move them, whatever you got to do, I want to give you permission to do that. If there's an issue with lighting, if there's an issue with sound, I want you to come over to whoever our gathering director is and have a conversation and let them know something you've observed. Like, don't just sit back passively and assume that there's no way to fix the problem, or don't assume someone else is going to fix it. Don't assume someone else is going to observe the problem or that someone else is going to step in. No, I want you to be that person. I want to give you permission to interject yourself in such a way that will cause a positive change in whatever scenario you find yourself in. So whatever leadership role you're in, if you are a leader of leaders, I want you to right now, you know, if you have a few moments or sometime in the next day or so, just make a list. Make a list of 10, 12, 15 examples of things in your context at your church or your organization or whatever, where you find yourself. Find a list of things that you think your leaders could be proactively stepping in and changing, but maybe aren't doing on a regular basis, or aren't doing as efficiently or as well as you would like. Make that list. And the next time you have a meeting, go over it with them. Say, hey, I want you guys to be a thermostat. Encourage them. Empower them to be the thermostat, and then give them specific examples. So with my intern that I had who couldn't set the room up properly in that moment, hey, I had failed because I hadn't given him specific examples. So you know what I did? I pulled him and a group of interns in, and I gave them a bunch of other specific examples. I kind of thought through my mind in our context, and I came up with a long list of specific examples. And you know what I found? Within a week or two, that all of these guys were not only taking care of the examples I had given, but they had actually found other areas where they could be a thermostat. And I found myself over the course of several weeks having interactions with multiple interns and saying, hey, why'd you do that thing, or how'd that thing happen? And they would often respond, oh, I made this change. And I find myself observing interns making incredible thermostat changes, stepping into circumstances, proactively thinking about the problems and proactively solving them before the problems ever even came up. And I found that the quality of our event went up substantially when people started being thermostats. Listen, if you do that, if you train your people and you encourage them to be thermostats, I promise you, you will find the quality of your ministry, the quality of your events, the quality of whatever you're doing in your context will go up. Problems will be proactively solved, and ultimately our ministries are going to be more effective and more efficient. Be a thermostat and train your people to be a thermostat. That will make all the difference in the world. Hey, before I let you go, let me point you to one resource that I think would be valuable for you to check out. I actually learned this metaphor, thermostat versus thermometer, as I mentioned earlier, while I was an intern in my late teens at a church. However, I ended up teaching this to a group of people who were serving with me many years later, and one of the people in the group said, oh, did you get that from the book Habitudes? And I said, no, I don't know what you're talking about. What's Habitudes? And she went on to tell me about this book called Habitudes by a guy named Tim Elmore. I had never heard of the book. So she told me about it, and she says, oh, he has a chapter about that particular concept. And so I don't know, the person I learned it from, I don't know where they got it from. When I was in Rockford, maybe they got it from Tim Elmore, maybe they got it from some other location, I don't know. So I went out and found this book by Tim Elmore called Habitudes, and it really ended up being one of the greatest books that I've read on leadership at that point in my life, and really ever since. It's really one of the best books on leadership out there. Tim Elmore, if you're not familiar with him, is kind of a leadership guru. He was a part of the John Maxwell organization for a long time. He's done leadership consulting and coaching for Home Depot and Chick-fil-A and Delta. I mean, he's done a bunch of different stuff. He has his own nonprofit now based in Atlanta. So he has a whole slew of books and curriculums, but the first book he wrote was a book called Habitudes. And basically each chapter is an illustration, a kind of an image. And one of them is a thermostat. And he has just kind of these quick, short chapters on leadership principles. And it's really, really good. He's got, I think the book's got like 12 to 15 different photos and images or illustrations that you can check out. And then they've got like discussion questions. It's really, really good for leadership development. So particularly if you are youth pastor, college pastor, and you've got like leaders, small group leaders, volunteers, interns underneath of you, really, really good stuff. And then he's got a whole crew of other books too, just like any other author. When a book does really well, sells a bunch of copies, they end up, having sequels. So he's got like Habitudes book number 2 and book number 4, and he's got Habitudes for Transitions or for the Journey, right? Specifically about, when major changes are happening. And he's got small group things. He's got youth leadership. He's got all these, a slew of Habitudes, curriculums, and books you can check out. I'd highly recommend any of that stuff. The original one is the one I would recommend you check out first. And I think it's just called Habitudes Book 1 or just Habitudes. And there's a couple different, editions of it now. But I will have a link in the show notes to this episode at our website at studentministrypodcast.com. Look at the show notes for episode 13. I'll have a link there to the spot or to the Amazon page for that particular book, the one that I read. And so again, it's a great resource, really simple, great reading for your own personal leadership development, as well as it's a really easy way to kind of go through with your leaders. Maybe you've got, maybe you meet with your leaders once a month or once a week or whatever. You could kind of easily go through this over the course of several months with your people. And again, as you go through each illustration, give your people very specific examples in your context as to how they could apply that. Again, I try to give 8, 10, 12 examples of your context of how people can take the leadership lesson and apply it. I find that the more practical, be as specific as possible, be very, very practical. It'll get people in the framework or in the mindset of thinking about those sort of things. And eventually, they'll begin to surprise you and blow you away on how well they apply those leadership principles. So again, check that out. It's Habitudes by a guy named Tim Elmore. Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast. Hope this has been helpful and insightful. If you have a question or a topic that you'd like me to address on this podcast, or maybe you know someone that you think would make a great interview guest, hey, shoot me an email. I'd love to hear from you. The address is heyortiz@studentministrypodcast.com. That's HEYORTIZ @studentministrypodcast.com. If you're a big fan of podcasting in general, check out my other podcast. It's called Theology for the Rest of Us. It's really designed to give quick answers to tough questions about theology and the Bible and Christianity. I'd love for you to check it out, maybe for your own personal development or as a podcast that you can use as a resource to push other people towards you, to tell other people about it, and answer their questions when it comes to theology. Check it out. The easiest way to find it is on the web at theologyfortherestofus.com. Our intro and outro theme music for this episode has been Actionable by Ben Sound. I'm Kenny Ortiz, and this has been the Student Ministry Podcast.